Yep. But I kind of have a rant about many drivers.
Buddy, how much time we got?
It's fast. So in golf, it's kind of funny how they can change a verbiage and flip people's mind. Many driver is not a new concept.
3 hours later.
Yeah, we changed the name to mini driver instead of two wood. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's the same golf club. Welcome back to the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. As you can see in front of us, we've kind of got what's been trending. The mini driver, I guess we'll call it part two since we did Titleist on the last episode. We've brought the nostalgia back with the R7 quad.
Yeah, obviously TaylorMade's been in the mini driver game, seems like every year now. Obviously still kind of limited release. Right out of the gate, what do you think of their branding, the going with the R7 name?
I mean, it's pretty cool, especially since they had Fuji basically recreate the same shaft that the original R7 quad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually a little bit bigger than the burner, too. So it's 305 cc's, and then they brought the Infinity crown on this one. And then obviously quad stands for the four weights, so... I don't know. It's pretty cool because if you go on TaylorMade's website, they even the original quad weighting system chart mm-hmm. that came out. What was that, 2005?
Yeah.
They use the same chart, but just updated graphics. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's kind of, hopefully it's not. I think the reason they call it limited release every year now is they never make enough when they release it, and then they sell out instantly. So instead of disappointing people, they're just like, well, it was limited edition.
Yeah, so like right now, if you're in the market for a mini driver and you've been looking for that burner and haven't been able to get your hands on one, or if you have, they're probably used and not in great shape. These release on May 5th, so right now they're pre-order. So pretty much if you want to get a mini driver, you got to make sure you're in that pre-order queue. That way your ship's out on the release date, and you don't wait a few weeks and then find out, oh, they're back ordered until no date. Because that's kind of what happened last year. Is like there was a lot of hype with the TaylorMade burner. And then when people finally wanted to try or get one,
it was gone.
It was gone. And like here, we had our fitting heads. We ultimately ended up selling our fitting heads just because.
To make a few people happy.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously not going to keep fitting something that we feel, you know, the consumer can't get. But that's the first thing that I kind of noticed compared to the Titleist. Titleist obviously has the one weight port in the back that's adjustable, but they're in these R7s, the quad weight system. So pretty much right now, the way that they're set up in the 11.5, and we've moved these around because we have fittings. That's why they're scuffed on the bottom, is we've had people trying to hit them off the mat, off the deck. Most people have been rather successful with that. But essentially, both heads come with 2 4-gram weights and 2 13-gram weights. So you can help position for face angle. You can help position for MOI. You could put the weight way in front to help take some spin off. I mean, and then obviously we know how adjustable TaylorMade's adapter is,
yep.
Right? So like adjustability compared to the burner, I think it's already 10 times better.
Well, it's a little, I think when they changed the crown up to the Infinity crown and put more weight in the bottom, I think that's why it's a little bit faster too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fun part so far for me is that a member from Sedgefield drive down, and we ran into a problem where we did his driver fitting, and then he's like, well, I need a club for this yardage. And literally FedEx dropped off this box during the fitting. I took it out of the plastic, and then he hits it the same distance as his driver. So he's like, well, why would I continue to play the driver that I'm having issues with when I just hit 22 shots in about a 10-yard proximity, especially mm-hmm. like a place like Sedgefield? So,
yeah.
So it's kind of a cool problem to like, we've got a few guys that are going to play one at 11.5 as a driver and one at like 15 degrees as a fairway.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what that's how I would describe the difference between some of the other mini drivers out there, is that they technically have the 11.5, which is a driver replacement. And then the 13.5, I would say, is a 3-wood replacement. I'm going to still say, from a practicality standpoint, I think driver is the most important club in the bag. You need to figure out how to hit it and get the most out of any distance. I look at mini drivers more of 3-wood replacements. I'll still say it true for this TaylorMade. We said definitely as a Titleist, but I still think it's a 3-wood replacement. Just giving you something that, you know, it's just a more forgiving 3-wood, the way I just think of them. Now, obviously, it's very player dependent. You have to be able to hit it off the deck, which we're not going to have any numbers up here because I'll be the first to say there's something about these TaylorMade mini drivers I cannot find the center of the face with. To me, they feel too long heel to toe and look too shut. Now, for somebody that plays a fade, that's the last thing that I want to see. Now, that being said, the burner, the TaylorMades are the most, they have the most clubs in the bag of tour players. So
even non-contract,
I mean, I'd probably be able to get like a different adapter to change that face angle a little bit. But
well, did you see Titleist's response to this for Justin Thomas?
Mm.
Titleist made a GT, but it's not called a 280. It's a GT Tour MD prototype with two weights.
Yeah.
And it's 11 degrees instead of 13.5.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's it has its place. Obviously, I like how you get the two loft options to choose what may or may not work for you.
I like the weight. I think the updating with the weights definitely helps us a lot with, hey, I want a club that I can hit this far off the tee, move right to left, click, done.
Let's talk about the shaft. So this is the stock shaft. It's a Fujikura speeder.
But the MD.
For the mini driver. I will say, I don't love how they're 60 grams.
Yeah, I mean, most of the ones we're selling have been with Ventus Red 7X, 7S, Ventus Velocor Blue, and Acura TZ7. So, I mean, we're seeing 70s and 80s perform the best in this.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's just an overall weight. Now, that being said, this is a big head.
Yeah.
I mean, 305 cc's. I mean, so I think that's probably why they were able to
go a little lighter
with the shaft. But this stock shaft's actually performed in fittings really well. I had a guy that did a fitting that we were pretty much dead set on the right through it. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, I think we should try hitting this 13 and a half degree head and see what it does. He hit like three shots. We saw the ball go like the exact number that he needed. He goes, why would I have a three wood? And we tried a ton of other shafts, and this one actually stood up and performed really well, kind of with those Ventus and I think the Mitsubishi Chemical 1K Red.
Yeah.
I think is going to be a really strong option with these. So there's definitely something there. But I will say, I mean, we're not going to quite give its flowers yet. We may or may not be doing a comparison video between the 280 and this R7. Since right now they're the only ones that
minis.
Yep. we can only get our hands on, but might have to stay tuned for that. I will say I will not be hitting the TaylorMade. Somebody else can do that because yeah, I wouldn't I'll, give it I'll justice. Hit it.
But I think the reason we're seeing more ball speed out of this too is the addition of that speed pocket. That's something that they've done in the past.
Is that not on the burner?
Nope. Burner just had the front the two weights. Speed pocket was added in for R7 because of the head size increase.
Yeah.
But I kind of have a rant.
That's the rubber piece that you see in TaylorMade Woods.
Yep. But I kind of have a rant about mini drivers. So,
buddy, how much time we got?
It's fast. So in golf, it's kind of funny how they can change a verbiage and flip people's mind. Mini driver is not a new concept. Cobra had the long tom in 2013. TaylorMade had the SLDR mini. And Callaway had the Big Bertha V mini driver. But they didn't call them mini drivers. They called them two woods, and they flopped bad. I mean, basically, it caused all the companies to abandon the concept, right? Well, 2 years later, same thing. You had a fairway metal called a four wood that got discontinued from every manufacturer because sales flatline. The year after they discontinued four woods, they came out with something called a 3HL, same loft, number one selling SKU in golf.
Yeah.
Right? Because it gets in the air easier than a three wood. Well, fast forward to what? Burner's been around, minis. Well, you had the original one, that Phil Mickelson one that Kiwa sold for 4 years now.
I think it was ugly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That thing was ugly. We changed the name to mini driver instead of two wood. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's the same golf club.
Yeah.
But now that we created a flashy name for it, now it's popular.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like the
recency bias. I mean, it's in everything.
Yeah.
It's
but I think that's what's funny is how much golfers pay attention to verbiage rather than just the data itself.
Oh, I mean, every single day when people hear the word 3-wood or 4-wood, you know, they probably need a 4-wood, but they're like, oh, I think I could be able to hit a 3 further. It's like, well, no, you're going to
launch, spin, and descent angle will be king.
Yeah. So
always.
Yeah. That's a good little rant. Good little facts from Kyle.
Marketing versus performance.
Yep. Anything else we want to add?
No, I mean, it's been a fun club, and I think now that every manufacturer has one, like I said, that first comparison video is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that until we do some more testing. Let the numbers speak for themselves, and which they have been in fittings. So, but have any show and tell?
Right.
Cool. Yeah, obviously we had a week off, which there might have been something major that happened in the week that we didn't do a podcast. Was
literally major.
Yeah, the Grand Slam has been, which I think I did say Rory was not going to win. So hey, hand up, I was wrong.
Eat that shoe,
Kyle Porter. I think Rory is now unquestionably the best player of his generation, the greatest European golfer of all time, one of the 15 most accomplished golfers ever. I mean, well, duh, he's one of the 15. I mean, greatest European golfer of all time. No. Here's my thing. You can't throw the word greatest European golfer of all time. He's abandoned the DP World, the European Tour, for how long now? I mean, it's one of those things that it's like the Michael Jordan to LeBron argument. Like, yes, you can argue back and forth all day. He doesn't play on the European Tour anymore. He plays the four or five
events. And then somehow wins the Race of Dubai.
Yes. But back then, you know, you had guys that strictly only played the European Tour, then came over and played the majors. I'm not going to run on, but unquestionably the best player of his generation. I mean, how old is he now? 35? Yeah, I
think it's
36. I would agree. Yeah, I mean, Grand Slam. Like, there's nothing more to. You got to give the dude his flowers. Now, can we talk about how, like, we were obviously at Kyle's place watching the final round, and
he tried to give it away.
I will say it, after 13, if he lost, we might not have seen Rory again. I don't think we would have seen Rory play a professional golf tournament again this year. To miss a green from 85 yards where you can hit it 50 feet left and have the ball roll down to the hole and you hit it in the water and you have a how many shot lead at this point? It was 3 or 4. All of our hearts just sunk into our stomach. Like, you don't want to see a guy lose it that way. So, like, I'm actually happy that he was able to win. I mean, Justin Rose's putting was unbelievable, but these are very clickbaity statements, and I would agree on majority of them. I mean, it was history. Like, that's we talked about it. You witness history.
So now we get to hear Brandel every PGA Championship talk about how Jordan Spieth needs to complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah. He did, like, Rory did go 41 majors without a win. Like, that was the last time he won a major, was 41 ago, before the Masters. Paige Spiranak, hot take, but I wish all sporting events banned phones. It was so special to see everybody enjoying the moment and being present. We can go on and on about how every sporting event needs to be about needs to be like the Masters, the affordable food and beverage. I mean, the affordable merchandise shop, too. Affordable ticket prices, like lottery ticket prices, but if you get them, they're affordable. Yes, I mean, by far, that's what makes it so special is that no phones. Justin Rose still found a way to just cry on every tee box. Quiet, please, shadows. Yeah, I mean, we can't say enough about the Masters. They did allow people to have like recorders in there, which I thought was weird. Stuff. So like they're definitely trying new stuff. I mean, I saw that they allowed some people to have phones. But that's one thing, one of the many reasons why the Masters is so special. But I mean, it goes without saying, I think it was the most viewed sporting event, single day sporting event, besides like the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That like the, and it was up like 5 million compared to Scottie Scheffler. Like, so there was the needle there. It was Rory. I will say perfect weather. You couldn't ask for a better event. Yeah. I mean, this, yeah, pictures speak volumes here. I mean, that's just, that's the great thing. And I don't think there's many cases in where you can go and do something in the world and truly be without your phone nowadays. So it's just a, I don't know. You just can't really describe it more than these photos right here. And like, we all do it. We all go do things and pull out our phones and take pictures and stuff like that. I will say, if I go to a football game or a basketball game, any sporting event, I might take a few photos at the beginning, but the photos don't mean anything because there's going to be people that have great photos like this that I'll be able to have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it to the professionals.
You know, I guess the real question is, did he flop after this shot?
No, he did not.
He didn't flop on the ground? Okay.
Nope, he did not.
Well, fun fact about the Masters. Do you know who took the iconic Rory on the green photo?
You mean like when he was on all fours?
Yep.
I don't know. Was it Getty Images?
Nope.
Oh.
Ken Griffin Jr.
Oh, I did see that.
He was the singular photographer to take that photo at that angle.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if it came from his camera, he's the only one to take that photo.
Yeah, but out of everybody there, how cool is it that he was the one to get it?
How about that emotion we saw from Rory?
Yeah.
Never would have thought you would have saw that emotion from him. But no, like that's, I did see a photo of like Ken Griffey Jr. and his setup, which he's been doing that now for a long time.
I mean, I guess if you got the budget, you might be able to call him for a wedding.
Yeah. You know? No, but we'll leave it at that. I mean, only positive stuff. I mean, Masters is amazing. Sucks that we got to wait another year for it. I am looking forward to...
Did you see they canceled over 600 people's access next year?
Yeah.
For selling passes?
Yeah. They're cracking down on things there. So,
next year's our year. 13 years of getting the know. Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments about the new R7, drop them below. We'll get back to you on those. And tune in next week for the next episode. And look forward to that Titleist versus R7 video.